And verse 25. Then it says about people who exchange the truth of God for a lie, worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever.
దేవుని సత్యమును అసత్యమునకు మార్చి శుద్ధికర్తకు ప్రతిగా సత్యమును పూజించి సేవించే వారి గురించి మనం చూస్తున్నాం.
There are two things in this verse that we must remember.
ఈ వచనంలో రెండు విషయాల గురించి మనం జ్ఞాపకం చేయాల్సింది.
One is how you can exchange God's truth for a lie.
ఒక విషయం ఏంటంటే దేవుని యొక్క సత్యమునకు అబద్ధానికి మనం మార్చుకోవచ్చు.
The second is how you can worship and serve the creature
rather
than the Creator. These are the two mistakes that
Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden.
And these are the two mistakes that even today, not only unbelievers, but even believers
make.
Let's look at them one by one. What does it mean to exchange the truth of God for a lie? The Bible is God's word. It gives us the truth of God. And the devil will challenge every statement in God's word.
దేవుని వాక్యమైన ప్రతి సత్యాన్ని ఫలితాన్ని దాన్ని సవాలు చేస్తే దానికి విపరీతం ఏదో చెప్తూ ఉంటాడు.
That's a lie.
అది అబద్ధం.
And the devil is active in the world.
సైతాను ప్రపంచంలో చాలా చురుకుగా తిరుగుతున్నాడు.
God is allowed into the active.
దేవుడు అవి మాత్రం తిరగడానికి అవకాశం ఇస్తాడు.
Some of us may wonder why God allows the devil to be active if he's going to lead so many people astray. More than 95% of people in the world have been led astray. But it's only through allowing Satan to be free in the world that God is able to test us.
అది ఏ విధంగా ఉంటే దేవుడు ఆ సైతాన్ని లోకంలో ఎటు తిరగడానికి అవకాశం ఇక్కడి ద్వారానే వెళ్ళిపోయాను భయపడుతున్నాడు దేవుడు.
See, Adam and Eve lived in paradise in an untested way.
ఆదాము అనే ఆ యొక్క ఏదైనా మనవులు వారు పరీక్షంతో పడినటువంటి పరిస్థితుల్లో వారు ఏదవుతుంటారు.
But finally, in the future, heaven is going to be filled with tested people.
అయితే భవిష్యత్తులో పరలోకి ఎలా ఉంటుందంటే అన్ని విషయాలు పరీక్షించబడినటువంటి ప్రజలతో ముందు ఉంటుంది.
Today, the angels in heaven are tested angels.
ఈ దినాన్న పరలోకం ఉన్న దేవదూతలు వారు పరీక్షకు నిలబడిన వారు.
When they were first created, they were all untested.
వారు మొట్టమొదటిగా సృష్టించబడినప్పుడు వారు పరీక్షించబడలేదు.
But when one of the angels rebelled against God's authority,
ఒకప్పుడు ఆ యొక్క జాగ్రత్తల్లో ఒకప్పుడు దేవుని అధికారాన్ని
వ్యతిరేకంగా
కొంతమంది ఏదైతే అతనితో పాటుగా వెళ్ళిపోయారు.
అప్పుడే
ఒక పరీక్ష జరిగింది.
అక్కడ క్లియర్ హూ విడ్ సబ్మిట్ టు గాడ్స్ అథారిటీ, హూ విడ్ నాట్ సబ్మిట్ టు గాడ్స్ అథారిటీ.
అప్పుడు జరిగింది ఆ పరీక్షలోనే ఎవరు దేవుని అధికారానికి లోబడతారు, ఎవరు దేవుని అధికారానికి లోబడరు అనేది ఉంది. అది చూడబడింది.
So a lot of angels left heaven.
అప్పుడు పర్లోకం నుంచి చాలా మంది దేవదూతలు వెళ్ళిపోయారు.
We can't call that a split.
అది ఏదో విభజించబడిన పరిస్థితి అని మనం చెప్పలేం.
No, it was a cleansing.
అది ఏంటంటే శుద్ధపరచబడినటువంటి కార్యం.
There's a difference between having a division and a cleansing.
అక్కడ విభజించబడ్డానికి శుద్ధపరచబడ్డానికి తేడా ఉంది.
when you remove all the dirt away from your house, it's a cleansing. God removed certain angels from heaven because the heavens had to be cleansed. God removed Ananias and Sapphira from the church because they had to be cleansed. And wherever God works in power, there is always a cleansing going on, even in the church. Whom does he cleanse? He cleanses those who will not humble themselves. Those who do not submit to his authority. And so, God uses Satan for that purpose. Through Satan, people are tested. Only when they are tested, they are going to be fit for God's kingdom finally. So, one way in which we are tested is to find out whether we believe the truth of God or we believe the lie of the devil. Now, way back in the beginning, God had told Adam that if you eat of this fruit of the tree, you will die. That was the truth of God. But Satan came along and said, no, that's not really so important. You will not die. And so, Adam and Eve had to decide, shall I accept the truth of God or shall I believe the lie of the devil? And they chose to believe what Satan said, thinking that it was the truth. So, all this sin and confusion has come into the world because Adam and Eve believed the opposite of God's truth. Now, today we have God's word. There are many things written here. And the devil says the opposite of everything written here. And all of us are being tested, whether we know it or not. Now, supposing you are a brother or a sister who really desires to love God with all your heart. And really want to please Him. And you see the warnings in Scripture. For example, it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's very clear. If you live according to the flesh, you will die.
And
just like God told Adam, if you eat of this tree, you will die. But the devil says, no, you won't die. Even if you live according to the flesh, you won't die. Now, what will happen to a believer who believes God? Who believes God's truth in Romans 8, 13? He will really battle the flesh so that he doesn't live according to the flesh. I'm not saying he won't slip and fall. A soldier may slip and fall in the battle and still win the battle. Slipping and falling is not serious if you continue the fight. I've seen people have slipped and fallen in a race and got up and won the race. Slipping and falling is not serious if you get up and run again. Slipping and falling in a battle is not serious if you continue the battle. So, if a person is really believing God's truth, he's going to fight the flesh because he knows he lives according to that, he's dying. He knows that if he lives according to the selfish, self-centered way that the world lives, he will die. He knows that if he lives seeking his own and not God's glory, he will die. But a believer who doesn't believe Romans 8:13, he will say, well, not really so serious. And he will be careless in his attitude towards sin. Most believers that I have met in my life, even believers, I find them very careless in their attitude to sin. They don't believe the truth of God. They don't believe that what God has warned is true. So they live according to the lie of the devil. Even believe it. It says, for example, in Hebrews in chapter 13. In verse 4. It says that marriage must be held in honor among all, the marriage bed undefiled, the fornicators and adulterers, God will
judge.
God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Do you think the world believes that? The world does not believe it. The devil says fornicators and adulterers God will not judge. See, everything God says, the world doesn't believe. See what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Now, these words are the truth of God. And when you read the truth of God, you can either believe that or you can believe a lie. In Matthew 5:22 it says, if anyone is angry with his brother, he will be guilty before the court. See, that's a clear word. If you are angry in your heart, you are guilty. But there are lots of believers who don't believe that. They don't believe that getting angry is a serious thing. What about us? In the Living Bible, it's paraphrased like this. If you are angry in your own home, you are guilty enough to go to court.
ఆ ప్రేమ బాధలు మీ గృహంలో మీరు కోపపడిన ఫ్లైట్ నీవేనా? నీవే ఆ యొక్క న్యాయస్థానానికి వెళ్ళడానికి తగినటువంటి
ఉద్దేశంగా My standards are different. God's standards are different from the world's standards. If you're angry in your own home, angry with your wife, angry with your husband, you're guilty. What is the Bible saying? You're not guilty, he says. Anger is not serious. So we can say that all believers are divided into two categories of people. Those who read these truths of God and say, Lord, I believe it. And a whole lot of other believers who believe what the devil says, no, it's not really true. Now, how do you know which category you belong to? You ask yourself, when you get angry at home, do you feel guilty? You feel, oh Lord, that was wrong, please forgive me, I want to set it right. When you belong to the right category. But when you're angry at home and you say, well, that's not serious, it's normal. Then you belong to the other category. You belong to the people who believe the lie of the devil. Take another word. Verse 29, it says, verse 29, it says, your right eye makes you to stumble, tear it out, because it's better for you to go to heaven with one, better that one of your parts of your body perish than your whole body go to hell. He's talking about adultery in verse 28. He says, you can commit adultery without You believe that? Even among believers, there are two categories of people. Those who take this matter of lusting with the eyes very seriously.
You
say, Lord, that's evil. I don't want to sin with my eyes. And then there's another category of people who say, well, that's not serious. Among believers. So we can say there are certain people who believe the truth of God and certain people who believe the lie of the devil, just like in Adam's
time.
We can say the whole world is divided into those who believe the truth of God and those who believe a lie. See, when you buy some expensive electronic gadget, you buy a washing machine or some type of valuable equipment, and you get a little instruction booklet from the manufacturer's instructions. You will follow that exactly. Because you believe that what's written there is true. You won't go against what's written in that booklet because you know that you will destroy your expensive equipment. Now in the same way, God has given us certain laws for our life on earth. If you believe God created man, you know that He has given certain instructions how man is to live.
ఆ మనుషుడు ఈ లోకంలో ఎలా జీవించాలో తను సూచనలు ఇస్తాడని నమ్మాలి.
అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ బిలీవ్ ఇన్ ది ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది క్రియేటర్,
ఆ సృష్టికర్తల యొక్క సూచనలు నాకు నేను
నమ్మినట్లయితే, అది
నేను పాటించినట్లయితే నా జీవితం
బాగుపడుతుంది.
దీన్ని నేను సరిగా పాటించిపోయినట్లయితే నా జీవితం నేనే
నాశనం.
మనిషి మీద బుద్ధితాన్ని అవుతుంది.
When it comes to washing machine, you obey exactly what is written in that instruction booklet. When it comes to our personal life, we don't follow the instructions of the Maker exactly. For example, it says in God's Word, Ephesians in chapter 5, supposing we read this as manifested instructions for having a happy married life. You want a happy married life. You want your washing machine to work properly. What should you do? Follow the Maker's instructions. Exactly. Don't change anything. They say push this button, after you push this button, then do it in that order. Then change the order. They put that one on first and then push this button. You follow it exactly.
You
do it the other way around, you may tell
the machine.
Why do we follow it exactly according to the book?
If
we press the red button
first,
and then put this blue button, will any of you say this
instruction?
You spend 15,000 rupees on that machine, you don't want to lose it just by pushing the wrong button. But when it comes to something more expensive than 15,000 rupees on married life, many believers don't follow God's word. He says here in Ephesians
5,
let 22 wives be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 24, as the church is subject to Christ, for all to the wives ought to be their husbands in everything. Now that's the instructions of the Maker. You want a happy married life? Then do this. But how many wives in the world do what the Maker
says?
I think of all the millions of marriages in the world, there are very few who really obey what's written here. And those are the only ones who have a happy marriage. They have perpetual unhappiness in their
marriage.
Because when the instruction says to press this button first and this button next, you don't follow it. We follow it when it comes to washing machine, but we don't follow it when it comes to marriage. We are so strict that we think the washing machine is more important than our marriage. I don't know how many of you sisters believe this is the instructions of the Maker. I think most sisters I have met in their life feel that the Maker has made a mistake in writing all this. That God Almighty did not know what he was writing. And those things are wiser than God. They believe the lie of the devil.
వారి
ఫలితాలు
వారి బిడ్డలు వారి యొక్క వివాహాన్ని
పోల్చేస్తున్నారు.
అదే జరిగింది ఆ
విషయంలో If you change the manufacturer's instructions, I guarantee your marriage will be destroyed. I've seen it happen in many marriages. That's just one example. You see, we are so educated and so clever that we think we know more than God. I'm just taking a few examples. When we don't follow God's word, it's because the devil has told us that's not important. And they reject the truth of God in life. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 13 and 15. I want you to read this verse very carefully. Philippians 2:13-15. Be all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourself blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation.
మీరు మోసమైన వస్త్ర జనం మధ్య నేపరాదులను నిస్తరించలను అనుకూలమైన దేవుని కుమారులు అయినట్లు సముద్రము సంక్షేమము మాని సమస్త కార్యములను
సమాధానం.
ఏ విధంగా మీరు విస్తరించిన అనుగుణమైన దేవుని కుమారులు అయినట్లుగా మీరు ఉంటారు?
How can you show yourself as a light in the world in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation?
ఏ విధంగా మీరు విస్తరించిన అనుగుణమైన దేవుని కుమారులు అయినట్లుగా మీరు ఎలా ఉంటారు?
How can you do it?
ఏ విధంగా చేయగలరు?
That's the answer. Doing all things without grumbling or disputing or complaining. So I say to myself, I want to be a light in the world. I want to prove myself not to be a child of the devil, but a child of God in the midst of this crooked generation. Why is this generation called a crooked and perverse generation? Because everybody around me is complaining and grumbling about something or the other. The world is full of grumbling. They grumble at home. Husbands grumbling against their wives for something or the other. Either the food is not good or something is not done on time. Or some grumbling in the home. And they go to office and they start grumbling there against the boss and against the authorities. Every office and factory is full of people who grumble and complain against about their salary or about the boss or about something or the other. And you travel in the bus, you listen to the conversation, you're grumbling against something. You go to the homes, you're complaining about their relatives and grumbling about something there. In the midst of such a crooked and perverse generation, God says, you must be different. You never grumble or complain. You know, once one man came to Jesus and said, "Who shall my brother to divide the property with me?" And Jesus said, "I didn't come to divide property." And why did he tell him, "I'm not interested in helping you with this matter"? Now tell me, was his request a righteous request or not?
Suppose
a man dies and he's got only two children. And one brother takes whole property to himself. Isn't that unrighteous? What if one is saying, "Please give me my share, give me 50%? And Jesus said, "No." Jesus came to start a new creation. The people who don't grumble or complain about anything. So he told this man, "I didn't come for people like you." Divide property and all that. I came to set people free from grumbling. Are you interested in that life? Then come and follow me. If all that you are interested in collecting your share of the property, then go to Moses. Go to the people who are teaching the law. If you love God with all our heart, we read in Romans 8:28. That every single thing will work together for our good if we love God and are called according to His purpose. Every single thing will work for my good. I love God. Then why should I complain? Have you ever complained in your life when something works for your good? When you think of some time in your life when you complained when something worked for your good, did you complain when you got a promotion? Did you complain when they doubled your salary? Nobody complains when everything is working for their good. But if you love God, what does it say? God will make every single thing work for your good. That's the truth of God. If you believe the truth of God, you'll never complain. But if you don't believe the truth of God, then what happens? You believe the lie of the devil. The devil says, "These are a lot of things will go, will not work for your good." Who do you believe? The vast majority of believers believe the devil. They don't believe God. That's why they complain. I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, any time you complain or grumble against a human being, you have a complaint, somebody did something against me or somebody did something evil to me, the truth that you don't believe what God says. You said, "No, what God says is not true." And you believe the lie of the devil.
Now turn to another verse in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. That's an amazing verse. It's just like Romans 8, 28. 1 Peter 3, 13. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Now let's see that verse. What is it saying? Can anybody in the world harm you and you are zealous to do what is good? That's the answer. The answer is, nobody can harm you if you are zealous to do what is good.
So,
when I hear somebody say, oh, that brother harmed me, I say, impossible. If you are zealous for what is good, nobody can harm you. You know, there are people who say, well, I went for an operation and the doctor made a mistake. And because of the mistake I suffer. Is there nothing to do with the doctor? Why got to do with whether you love God or not? If you love God, nothing can happen. Even a doctor's mistake cannot happen in your life. Which one works for your good? That works for your good. You won't have a complaint even against the doctor who made a mistake. You won't have a complaint against the person who did you actual harm to your family. No complaint. Because you believe no one can harm you when you are zealous for what is good. It's true, brothers and sisters. So, if somebody has harmed you, and you suffered some harm, what should you say? According to 1 Peter 3:13, if I was zealous for what is good, nobody could have harmed me. But somebody did succeed in harming me. That proves what? I was not zealous for what is good. So the problem is not with that person, the problem is with me. If I was zealous for what is good, nobody could have harmed you. So take that seriously. We must believe the truth of God if we want to experience it in our life. Many people, the fundamental problem is not that other people are hurting them. The fundamental problem is they don't believe the truth of God. You believe the truth of God, you will never believe the lie of the devil. So let's go back to Garden of Eden. How did people believe? How did the devil get power over Adam and Eve? By believing the lie of the devil. Now, it's difficult to pay attention after a heavy meal, so let's stand up for half a minute. Whenever you're sleeping around, you please wake them up. And let's just stretch our legs and sit down so that we don't go to sleep. Let's sit down. You know how the birds of the air come and take away the food that is sown? Have you read that in the Bible? Jesus said, the soil sows the seed and the birds of the air come and take away the food. You know, one way is by putting people to sleep.
So
many people said that by the end of the meeting nothing was there because the man was fast asleep. You can say the birds of the air came and took it all in. So we've got to be careful, drive away these birds of sleep. So that we get what God is trying to say to us.
Now,
it's not a sin to fall asleep in a meeting. Maybe because you are tired. But we should try to pay attention to what God is trying to say. Because you can be sure the devil doesn't want you to hear it. So, here it is, that we must make sure that when God has said something, I'm not going to believe the lie of the devil. Whenever we read God's word, we say, Lord, that's true. Everything else is a lie. Whatever the devil may say, it's a lie. You know, sometimes we are tempted to be discouraged. This is where everything is going wrong. Sometimes we have problems with our children. Problems with our job. Problems with our physical health. And what should we do? We're tremendously tempted to be discouraged at such
times.
Here's what I do when I'm tempted like that. I say, Lord, whatever may be happening to me or my property or my children or my God, there are certain things that are true. You are still on the throne. That is still true. Jesus died and has cleansed all my sins. That's also true. And the devil was defeated on the cross. That's also true. Your word is true. The devil is a liar. And your word says, Satan will be crushed under my feet one of these days, and that is really true. I believe that all authority in heaven and earth is still in the hands of Jesus Christ. That's also true.
So,
because all those things are true, I'm just going to praise you for those things. These other things that are happening around me, my health and my children, my job, and I don't know why these things are happening. Other things that I mentioned, I also believe I think that together for my good. Let me praise the Lord for those things. Let me praise the Lord for the things that never change. Now when we praise God for the truth of God, I find very often the devil just goes away and we don't get
discouraged.
I've done that many, many, many times. And I tell you, I never, never get discouraged. Because, not because I don't face difficulties and problems. Because I confess the truth of God. That is on the phone. The blood is being defeated. I sing all things in the blood of Jesus. And God is in control of all circumstances. He is the ruler of the universe. He will not allow the devil to triumph over me. Whenever you're facing problems in your home or office or anywhere, you confess the truth of God. Even sometimes when you can't understand why God has allowed so many pressures in your life, you can't understand why God has not answered your prayer. For example, when the devil came to me, and said, see, God's not allowed you to eat this beautiful food. So then you see, that means the devil said, that means God doesn't love you. If he loved you, he would have allowed you to eat the fruit of the
tree.
What should she have said? He should have said, I don't know why God has not allowed me to eat from this
fruit.
But I'm sure that He loves me, and there must be some very good reason why He doesn't want me to touch
it.
He can say, Lord, there are many things I can't understand. But I believe your word is true. And even if I can't understand it, I believe you love me. Come on, with voice from your loving heart. I'm going to obey that. Just think, if you say it like that, the devil won't have power over you. The devil gets power over you when you begin to doubt the truth of God. Just over here in Romans chapter 1. They worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Now, what does it mean to worship the creature rather than the creator? You see, that tree in the Garden of Eden was created by God, very, very beautiful, to test Adam and Eve in one thing. Are you going to worship the created truth or the one who created it, the creator? That's always the test in every temptation. When a man is tempted by a pretty face, what God is asking is, are you going to worship that pretty face I created, or are you going to worship me?
Worship.
Which one are you going to worship? This pretty face or the creator? That's why God has made so many things in the world attractive. Money, for example, is a tremendously attractive
thing.
Is there anybody sitting here who can say that you are not attracted by money? No, everybody is attracted by money. Everybody in the world is attracted by money. Even believers are not attracted by money. Every single believer is attracted by money. But some of them, they overcome it. They say, God, you are more important than money. I will not worship money in my life. I will worship you. When you worship money, you are worshiped, like it says, you are worshiping the creature more than the creator. And serving the creature rather than the creator. So we find the world multitudes of people, they serve money. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. Impossible. You cannot serve God and money. Because money is created. God is the creator. But even so many believers, I tell you, it's a sad thing for many believers. Money is more important than God. I want all of you to examine your life. See if there are some decisions you have taken in your life which prove that for you, money is more important than God. Just ask yourself. Some decisions that you took, which proves that money was more important in your life than God. Then you can be sure that you worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Now there's nothing wrong in using created things. Jesus used money. He never worshipped it, he never served it. Jesus ate food. But he never worshipped it or served it. Jesus wore clothes. But he did not worship clothing. There are so many believers today who worship clothing, the dress they wear. So many created things believers are worshipping. And serving. That's how the devil gets power over them. When Eve stood before that fruit, that beautiful fruit, God was asking her one question. Is this more important to you? Or am I more important to you? That's the question that came to Peter also in John chapter 21. John 21. Where you read of a time when they caught so much fish because Jesus blessed them. In verse 6 it says that last part, they could not haul it in because of the great number of fish.
ఇక్కడ ఇరవై ఉపాధ్యాయం వ్యవహారం ఆరో శాస్త్ర భాగంలో చూసినట్లయితే వారు అలాగే శాస్త్ర విస్తారంగా పడినందున వల్ల
లాగలేకపోయింది ఇక్కడ
చూసినట్టయితే 153 గొప్ప చేపలతో ముందు ఉపనం పడ్డాడండి.
153 big fish, that means they made a lot of money that day.
153 పెద్ద చేపలంటే గొప్ప ధనాన్ని వాళ్ళు సమకూర్చేసి అదనాన్ని.
What a lot of money they made in one
day.
Even though they divided it among those 6-7 people who went fishing. Suddenly, one moment, through the blessing of the Lord, they made so much money. Then confidence. Then the Lord asked
Peter,
Do you love me more than all this fish that you have caught? Now you made such a lot of money. Do you love me more than this money? Three times he asked him that question. Do you love what I gave you? If you love these things, you'll have to keep fishing and keep making money. But if you love me, I'll give you a ministry. Look after my lambs and my sheep. You won't make so much money there. But you'll prove your love for me. Relationship. Many situations come in our life where the Lord is testing us. And the question he asks is this. Some wonderful opportunity has come for you in the world. The Lord says, do you love me more than this? You have to answer him. This is more important to you. You love me more than your house? More than your vehicle? You love me more than everything in your house? You said, if you don't love me more than your wife, children, father, mother, you are not fit to be my disciple. If you really want to go against the way Adam and Eve went,
You have to decide two things. One, you will believe the truth of God. You won't believe the lie of the devil. And secondly, that you will never worship a created thing in your life. You will never serve any created thing. You will only serve the Creator.
And
when you serve the Creator, you will add to your life all the created things that you see that you need in your life. Have you followed
him?
Help us to believe your truth at all times. Never to believe anything that the devil says. Everything he says is a lie. Help us to worship you. To serve you. Never to serve the money or any created thing. Never to worship any created thing. But only to worship you, O God.
In
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.